Thank you for joining us today for a message from the Word of God. What follows is a recording from one of our live services at Gooch Lane Church of Christ in Huntsville, Alabama. If you're ever in the area, we'd love to have you join us in person. And if you like what you hear today, you can visit us online at teachingtruth.org, where we have videos, weekly articles on biblical topics, information about our services, and more.
If we had to choose the number one committed sin in the history of the world, what do you think it would be? Of course, we can't find the answer to that. There's been no kind of record kept. God hasn't told us what it is. But I suspect if we looked at gossip, it would have to be way up there. Because most everybody can talk, and most everybody talks about someone else. And so there's a great danger that we find in committing this sin. I think it was a bit of an overstatement, and I don't know who originated it, but someone once said that the Christian army is the only army that shoots its wounded. I think you could put gossip in that category, that when you are speaking ill of someone, whether it's a true statement or false statement, that really what you're doing is you're harming that person. You're doing the exact opposite of what God has instructed for people to do. And so I thought it might be good for us this morning to think about this from the standpoint of our theme for the year. Our theme is genuine love. How do we show genuine love for our brethren, for our fellow Christians? Well, this is kind of an opposite of that. How we do that is by avoiding disingenuous love, the kind of love that's going to be detrimental, the kind of love that's going to be harmful. It's interesting how much God has to say about this. When we oftentimes talk about gossip, we start out by saying, well, really, how do you define gossip? And that's an excuse we often give. And we'll say, well, I'm saying these things, but it's really not gossip. How do we even know what gossip is? Well, the Bible is replete on this idea. I knew there was a lot said, but it wasn't really until I sat down and just started writing it out that I understood just exactly how much God is saying about this issue. Let's start with the Old Testament. I'm just going to give a sample verse for all these different categories. What I'm going to put on the screen, I probably could have put in some cases 5 or 10 verses per category, but just use one to illustrate it. When we look at the Old Testament, one of the things God does to describe gossip is to compare it to talebearing. And so in Proverbs 11:13, what comes into English as slandering says, "Whoever goes about slandering reveals secrets, but he who is trustworthy in spirit keeps a thing covered." The concept here is you're telling something on somebody. You're getting a scandal started, or you're continuing a scandal about someone. And so God says, here's a form of gossip. It's where you're telling something about someone that's not helpful at all. We look in Proverbs 16:28, we find another interesting use of the term. A dishonest man spreads strife, and a whisperer separates close friends. The term here could just as easily be translated as murmuring. That's a term specifically related to the Old Testament Jews, in which the literal meaning is you're talking under your breath. You've always got something to say, but you're just not quite saying it loud enough for everybody to hear, but for the guy next to you to hear. God says that's gossip, where you're not broadcasting it, but yet you're taking it, and in this low tone, you're spreading it to someone else. We think about Proverbs again. The north wind brings forth rain, and a backbiting tongue, angry looks. A backbiter is exactly what the term describes. It's someone that when a person turns their back, you've got another person who's just letting them have it. Saying these things, not confronting, not directly to the person, but pretty much to everybody other than that person. Exodus 23:1, in the law, God says, "You shall not spread a false report. You shall not join hands with a wicked man to be a malicious witness." This portion of gossip is taking something that is totally untrue, but reporting it like it is truth. And God says, if you're caught doing that, he's telling his people, then that is a punishable offense. That if you are spreading this false report, or if you're linking arms with someone who's interested in that kind of thing. And then one that's closely related says this, the one who conceals hatred has lying lips, and whoever utters slander is a fool. In this case, it's not a false report. It's a bad report. It may be total truth, but it's certainly not for someone's benefit. And if you'll recall back in the book of Genesis, this is what gets the ball rolling in Joseph's story. It says that he brought a bad report on his brothers to his father. And so it's the idea that you found out something about someone that is not good. It's something that may have happened, and you're spreading that on. Here's the Old Testament view. And as I said, we could multiply these passages many times over as we think about what God is telling us concerning gossip. But let's take a minute and look at it from the New Testament. Terms are not totally different. In fact, some overlap considerably. Where you've got the whisperer, the secret slanderer. That's what Paul says in Romans 1:29 as he's going through his list of wickedness, and he says they were filled with all manner of unrighteousness, evil, covetousness, malice. They were full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, maliciousness. They are gossips. Just as the Proverb writer warned, so Paul warns, this is not something associated with the people of God. The idea of backbiting comes out in 2 Corinthians. We actually have two terms here that Paul's using to describe one who commits this sin. For he says, for I fear that perhaps when I come, I may find you not as I wish, but that you may find me not as you wish, that perhaps there may be quarreling, jealousy, anger, hostility, slander, and gossip. Conceit and disorder. He says, if I come and I find these things in you, then I'm going to find here a group of people who are not being what God wants them to be. Jesus in Matthew 15:19 uses the term related to blasphemy when he says, for out of the heart come evil thoughts, murder, adultery, sexual immorality, theft, false witness, slander. We'll be back to that one in just a minute. One other that we want to look at is the word just for slander, when in 2 Timothy 3:3, in the midst of another of Paul's list of sins, he says someone who is heartless, unappeasable, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not loving good. That term comes out a couple of more times in Titus 2:3 as Paul's talking about what older women are not to do, and as he's talking about wives in 1 Timothy 3, what they're not to do. But here's what's really interesting with this word. If you took those three passages out, every other time this word comes into the New Testament, it's referring to the devil or being of the devil. The term devil means slanderer. And so every other time you read this term, it's talking about the one who is totally bent on evil. And so Paul borrows this term as he's writing to these two young preachers, and he says, you make sure you're teaching people not to have this kind of attitude when they're talking about others. So let's go back to our question. What then is gossip? I think we've got a pretty extensive list, don't we? If we don't understand what it is, we do now. That it's telling things that are scandalous. It's murmuring under our breath about other people. It's backbiting. It's spreading false reports. It's spreading bad reports. It's whispering. It's gossiping. It's blaspheming. And it's devilishly slandering. Now, as we read those, we should get a very good sense of God's feeling about it. And so as James then is writing about the dangers of our speech, it makes perfect sense when he says the tongue is a fire, a world of unrighteousness. The tongue is set among our members, staining the whole body, setting on fire the entire course of life, and set on fire by hell. He says this is where gossip is originating. This is where it starts. That's what gossip is, according to God. But now let's take that idea and let's turn it a bit and think about, if I have that problem, what is gossip saying about me? What is the gossip saying about the gossiper, the one who's committing this sin? And I appreciate what Brian said and the songs that he led, because the statement he made is exactly right. When we have a sin of this nature, it's a problem of the heart. That's what God's saying. He's saying this is a problem at the very spiritual core of who I am. Let's look at James one more time here. When he says in verse 26 of chapter 1, if anyone thinks he is religious, emphasis there on thinks, if he thinks he is religious and does not bridle his tongue, but deceives his heart, this person's religion is worthless. One thing I like about the book of James is it is straight to the point, isn't it? You don't have to sit back and say, I wonder what James meant by that. Here he's saying, if I am not in control of what I'm saying, yet I think I'm a religious, spiritually minded person, he says, you have deceived your heart, and your religion is of no consequence. It's of no value. And so the warning that I get out of that then is this, that if I am not placing my speech under the Spirit's control, my religion is worthless. And why do I put it that way? Well, if you think about the fruit of the Spirit, as Paul ends that, he says, part of that fruit, part of that picture of the fruit of the Spirit is self-control. In other words, if I'm letting the Spirit have an influence on my life, then what I'm doing is I'm making sure that the words I'm speaking are the kinds of words that He's revealed to me that I need to be speaking. Let's look at what the Lord says. As He talked about this in Matthew 15, He says, beginning in verse 18, but what comes out of the mouth proceeds from the heart. What I say is what I am on the inside. And He says, this defiles a person. For out of the heart come evil thoughts, murder, adultery, sexual immorality, theft, false witness, slander. I want you to note that list. Would we have ever put slander? If we were writing out a list and we wanted to come up with egregious sins that are demonstrating the kinds of things that defile, I think murder would be on there, and probably adultery and fornication, and maybe theft, and maybe even lying about someone. But here Jesus also includes the concept of slander, and He uses terms that are relating to the Old Testament, that idea of defiling. The idea that you've become unclean, that you've done something that's made you unclean, He says, that's what defiles you. Not to eat with unwashed hands, as He was being questioned about. He said, these are the kinds of things that destroy. And so the point that our Lord makes is that if I am using slanderous, gossipy speech, then it's making me spiritually unclean, which ties exactly to what James says when he says that makes your religion worthless. So there's a problem at my spiritual core. There's another problem that I'm really not respecting that idea of loving my neighbor. You'll recall that when the man comes to Jesus and he says, what's the greatest command? Jesus immediately says, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your strength. But then he also says, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. They're linked. You can't pull them apart. That if you love God with everything you are, you're going to love your neighbor with everything you are as well. So then, if I do not do that, the Lord is saying, we've got a serious problem. Back to Matthew 15, 19. When he says the term slander in Matthew 15, 19. As I mentioned, that word is literally blasphemy. And I think what's going on is, the Lord is saying to us that if you can look at someone who is created in the image of God, and you can belittle and you can tear down that person, then ultimately what you're doing is doing that to God Himself. If you're taking on someone who's bearing the image of God, then you're saying that about God Himself. So the question then is, what brings about that kind of attitude? What would lead me to this idea of letting these defiling things proceed from my heart, out of my mouth, to not love my neighbor? I think there's a lot of answers for this. But maybe if we narrowed it down to some of the top ones, we would say it's the desire to see someone else brought down. There's a jealousy perhaps going on, or an envy or something of that nature, and it's a desire to see some kind of reproach brought on that person. And so, even we use this term, don't we, through a whisper campaign. Maybe we're a link in that we're spreading this bad report about someone, or maybe a group of people, or maybe even an institution. You can have that going on with churches, can't you? If there's a church and someone does not particularly care for that church, and a member of that church has problems, and you begin to spread this story, true or false, about the person, the intent may be to cast dispersion on the group. I know that's even happened if you're a teacher, you know this happens sometimes even in schools, where someone will do that with a child. I remember an occasion once where a teacher had heard something about one of the students and was fearful of what that might do, not only to the student, but to other students, brought it to the principal's attention and said, "This is what I heard." And I loved what the principal said. He said, "Well, that's true. But were you also told that that child went before the church, confessed the sin, and took the full consequence?" Well, you know the answer to that. The salacious part was told, but not the corrective part. What we have to be careful of is that gossip is so dangerous because many, many times we don't know the full story about a person. We don't know the full story about what's going on in this situation. And so I can never allow that to be some kind of tool in my arsenal to bring somebody down who I think needs to be brought down. Well, also, you might turn it around and say maybe it's a desire to build ourselves up by that. Many times we think, well, the good people are going to be recognized for their goodness, and the way I show my goodness is to point out someone else's badness. Do we see our Lord doing that kind of thing? In fact, it's just the opposite. He goes to those who are on the fringes of society, and He lifts them up rather than doing things as the religious leaders of their day were doing to tear them down. Or maybe it's just the desire to be in the know. Just to be one who is a source of information. And you have the reputation that you know what's going on. There are a lot of things that can lead to this. But what we need to see is that it's saying a lot about me if I'm allowing that to be a constant part of my conversation. That if I'm spreading these things, my gossip is saying something about the gossip. So what then do we do about it? Maybe we need to borrow a step out of Alcoholics Anonymous and just simply say, we got to admit the problem. So you don't have to say it out loud now, but maybe you can say in your name, "Hello, my name is, and I am a gossip." It's recognizing that this is a sin, a serious sin, and that if I am partaking of this sin, then I'm working against the King of Heaven. It's hard for Christians to do this because many times I'm afraid we don't see that in ourselves. A sin that so easily besets us, a sin that so easily brings us down, we are not recognizing the danger, and thus we are not admitting to ourselves that this is a real problem I may have. So I've got to admit it, and I can't make excuses. I can't come up with all these reasons of saying, oh, I'm just reporting the facts. It's not to hurt the person. In fact, I'm trying to help the person. No. I don't make excuses like that for myself. I don't let myself off the hook. And I understand that this comes with a great deal of maturity. Let's visit James again. Chapter 3, verse 2, after he gives warning to teachers, he says, "For we all stumble in many things, and if anyone does not stumble in what he says, he is a perfect man, able also to bridle the whole body." James says, you got to realize, it is an all-the-time effort to keep your words under control. And maturity may simply teach me, stop talking so much. Stop saying things or typing things into some kind of a public forum or letting my thoughts be known to a wide group. Maturity may say, just stop that, because that's feeding into this problem that I have. So I admit the problem. And then to go back and to kind of reverse this disingenuous love, what we then say is, as I want my love to be genuine, I want my love to be what God has given me and what He expects of me. And the words of Jesus are going to help us out a whole lot here. Passage probably many of us have known. Probably can't remember a time we don't know it, right? So whatever you wish other people would do to you, you do also to them. For this is the law and the prophets. We sum it up as the golden rule. So the Lord's giving us a lot of wisdom here about the kinds of things that we need to be saying. So the question then is, what do I want others to do? If I'm taking the golden rule into effect and I'm doing to them what I hope they're doing to me, then I ask the question, do I want other people gossiping about me? And I think most of us would say, no, I don't want that. So I don't gossip about them. Do I want other people gossiping about my children? Well, no, I don't want them gossiping about my children. Don't gossip about their children. Do I want someone to question my loyalty or my desire to serve the Lord? No, well, don't question their loyalty or their desire to serve the Lord. See how this works? The Lord's saying what you are wanting, what you are expecting, that's what you need to be giving. That's the golden rule. That's what the Lord has directed us to do. Because the entire purpose, as I hope we have fully gotten by this point in the year, the entire purpose of genuine love is for another's well-being. It's to help a person to grow spiritually. That's the desire. That's what we're wanting in this. Let's turn it around just a bit now. If I want to stop gossiping, don't we say this with any habit? That you got to replace it. You got to put something in its stead. And so if I've gotten into this bad habit of gossiping, maybe what I need to do is whenever I've got that temptation to say something gossiping about someone, instead, I replace that with a positive statement about that person. Is that not going to change my outlook on things? Is that not going to help me to be the kind of person who's looking out for the well-being of others? Or if I'm tempted to speak poorly of someone, I'm going to talk about something good that this person does. That's going to do two things. It's going to help me break the habit of gossip, and it's also going to build up as the Lord encourages us to do. So we have genuine love. We allow the spiritual well-being of others to permeate our desires. But let's look at it from the other side now. We've been talking about not being a transmitter. Let's also not be a receiver. When we think about the book of Proverbs, so much wisdom in there about our speech. Proverbs 26:20 adds to what we've looked at this morning. When it says, for lack of wood, the fire goes out. And where there is no whisperer, quarreling ceases. Can I add a little bit to that? For lack of wood, the fire goes out. Also, for lack of oxygen, the fire goes out. If I simply shut it down, and I am unwilling to listen to any of this, I can guarantee you, it's going to end gossip 100% of the time. If I am refusing to be a receiver, then someone doesn't have an audience for that. They're going to have to go somewhere else. It's going to shut that down in my life every single time. So how do I do that? I don't know. Are any of us brave enough to do these things? Could you tell me why you're telling me this? Someone brings a report to you, and you say, wait, before we go any further, why is it that I need to know this? Probably going to be a pretty good conversation stopper, don't you think? Better yet, this is extremely important. Let's go right now and talk to the person. Let's go right now. Look, I can get away. Let's just go. You found this out. Obviously something somebody needs to know. And I'm going to anticipate the response. Since you can't go right now, let me record this conversation. And I'll take it to the person and let them know what you found out. And maybe we end it by saying, when can you sit down for a meeting with this person? What kind of an impact do you think that'll have on gossip? If I am refusing to consume it, suddenly I'm not going to be viewed as a very good consumer by those who want to sell it. And so it's learning when to be quiet, and it's learning when not to listen. And when I get those two things down, I can shut down gossip. Now, let me give a little bit of a counterbalance to that. I am convinced that there are occasions where we do need to confide in someone else. There are situations in life where we need to confide something in someone. In those situations, I would simply say, when we need wise counselors, let's choose wisely who we're telling. Because what we don't want this to do is to become an excuse where I go to someone and say, well, I need your advice, but really what I'm looking at is an opportunity just to tell something. If you think about confidence, confiding, the very nature of that word means here is someone to whom you tell something and you are fully convinced it is going to go no further. The word is going to stop right there. And there may be times in our lives where we're having troubles in a marriage or troubles with our children or troubles with a brother or sister in Christ or troubles with a boss or another employee, and we've exhausted our efforts and we need someone else's words of wisdom in that. Choose wisely who that's going to be. Because what we do not want to do is to spread something in this guise of simply looking for advice. Finally, I would end all of this just by saying as well, let's don't grow devastated if somebody gossips about us. You know the old statement, right? That if somebody's gossiping about you, they're giving somebody else a vacation. That's a pretty good way of looking at it, but it's exactly what the writer of Ecclesiastes said. He said this to us, do not take to heart all the things that people say, lest you hear your servant cursing you. Your heart knows that many times you yourself have cursed others. If all of us are honest with ourselves, we can look at places in our lives where we have been the spreader, the whisperer, the gossip, the slanderer. And if we learn somebody's doing that to us, the writer says, look, just let it go. You know how many times you've done that. This person's likely having a moment of weakness. I would just add this addendum, though. If we're mature enough, it may provide an opportunity to help someone with a spiritual problem. I hear somebody said something about me, not out of maliciousness, not out of anger. I go to that person and I say, I know you've been saying this. Let's talk about it. I'll tell you my side, or I'll tell you how I ask for forgiveness for it, or whatever. But I simply don't let it destroy me. Now, three things. I stop gossip from coming out of my mouth. I stop my ears from receiving gossip. And when someone's gossiping about me, I don't fall apart. When I can accomplish those three things, I'm where the Lord wants me to be. I'm where the Lord wants me to be as a communicator. Because what I'm doing is showing my love not only for Him, but for those who are made in His image. So then, what can we talk about? You know, the Lord has given a message, and He said, you just tell this to everybody you want to tell. Don't hold back. He said, go into all of the world and proclaim the gospel to the whole creation. Just whoever you meet, whoever you're talking to, whatever opportunity you have, just tell them about the gospel. Because that's the means of salvation. And when I can control my speech to where I am honoring the King and seeking to bring others into His kingdom, I'm honoring this commission that the Lord gave to His apostles and that I'm accepting as a faithful citizen of His kingdom as well. Let's be careful in what we say. Words are harmful. Words are dangerous. We need to make sure that we're not using those as a weapon against someone else. Thank you for your good attention this morning. What I just said is available to you, and I'm freely telling it to you this morning. If you believe and are baptized, the Lord says, you will be saved. No question about it. You ready to do that? You know what it means to be a Christian? You know what it means to be a child of God? You're ready to be in that family? Now's the time to do it. And I hope you'll choose to do that this morning. There's a temptation that's plaguing you. We can pray with you about it. If there's a sin that you've committed, we can go with you to the Father for forgiveness, whatever it takes. Let's make sure that we're being that faithful kingdom citizen, that faithful child in the Father's house, and showing honor to our Savior. If you need to respond, you can come now while we stand and sing.
Thanks again for joining us today. If you have questions about anything you heard today or anything Bible related, you can use the contact form on our website at teachingtruth.org to submit a question and someone will be in touch. There's also lots of other great Bible content on our site as well. The web address again is teachingtruth.org. Once again, thanks for listening, and we hope to see you in person soon.